Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 240.
Jesus.
I know, right?
God, you're old.
I know.
Fuck. My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I am here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Glenn Burgess.
How's it going?
Travis is not with us. He's having a work emergency, quote unquote.
He needed to poop at work.
So our thoughts go out to him dealing with his GameStop drama.
Hang on, buddy. Hang on and scream. It helps.
And then when you get home, punch something.
Don't worry about the tearing.
Not your wife, not your dogs.
Not your dogs. Dogs no. Would probably bite your back, and they might win.
Most likely would.
See, today we are going to be talking about Sega. Briefly,
yeah,
we're going to be talking about things that Sega has released in the past that we're going to miss because we will likely never see them again.
And based on our response for this one, I don't think a lot of our listeners have any kind of affinity or love for Sega.
Yeah, I think it's just us, Jeff.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Sega or Sega?
Yeah. Both. Both.
A little of both.
We're basically just doing a revisit, like we're kind of reminiscing about the good old days of Sega.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Pretty much. Can you do that, Glenn?
Have you played a Sega game?
Did you have a Genesis?
Prior to 2001?
My happiest experience with the Sega was moving away from the SNES so that I could put in the blood code for Mortal Kombat.
Well, there you go. Save that story for
Fair enough. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, Glenn, how's it going, dude?
It's going pretty well.
It's always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks. You should do it more often. I like it here.
It's comfortable.
It's nice.
It's quaint.
People know me.
Yeah.
No, I just recently got back from vacation. So
nice. How'd that go?
And where did you go for vacation?
Great. Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Little place. I've been there.
Little place called East Sandwich.
East Sandwich.
Really? That sounds good, actually.
Sandwich.
It sounds like I'd be hungry.
What comes
all
on
the
an East sandwich?
There.
God, could you make me an East sandwich real quick? I'm just hungry.
Yeah. If I lived there, I seriously would be hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Every time I say East sandwich.
But it's great, and it's right by the beach. My uncle's got a boat, and we did a little bit of work to get that up and running perfect again. And the way that we go to the beach is we actually take the boat to the beach, and a couple of members of the family stand on the beach and flag us down. And then we just bring the boat in real close, and we keep the cooler with all the beers and everything out on the boat. So you got to swim out to get really refreshed to grab a beer that's refreshing.
That actually sounds really awesome.
It is. And
it kind of does. I'm kind of
jealous. The waves in Cape Cod are not super, you couldn't surf them. Like, there's no way in hell. But they are enough that if you stand on the bow of the boat and time it just right, you can do a double backflip.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. It is awesome.
And I have a picture of...
Yeah, and if you'd like to see a video... No video. There were some pictures from the trip, and it's great. And there's something cool about going somewhere where the only way to get there is crossing one of two bridges that go across a canal. Like, there are no streets that get there in any other fashion. So, it's cool. I don't know. I love seeing my family. I haven't seen my parents in a while, which I'm not used to, because I usually live, within 20 minutes of them. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting having that, oh my God, I haven't seen you guys in 5 months. How's it going? But it was good. A whole lot of sitting out on the deck, drinking some beers. My cousin's in a band, went and saw them play, and hanging out at the beach. That's about it. And trying to adjust to work the next day after getting back, which is sitting at a cubicle underneath the fluorescent light. Yeah, let me explain to you exactly how that is like the beach at Cape Cod. So what have you been up to, Jeff?
Not at all. Yeah, exactly. Fucking a whole lot of not much. I was going to... Actually, you know what? I'll tell the story now. I was going to save it for, distractions, but the game Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to play it so bad. On the weekend. It's so good. It was funny because me and Tawny were doing our own thing. Went out for dinner at one of the good, actually, Mexican places here called Sneaky D's. If anyone's familiar with what's called Scott Pilgrim, the actual graphic novels, they don't actually mention it in the movie, but they go to Sneaky D's a lot. And it's actually a real place in Toronto, and it's freaking really, really awesome Mexican food. So we went there for dinner, and then we're just kind of chilling. And we're like, okay, well, let's go, we didn't know what we were going to do that night. We just wanted to hang out. So, okay, well, let's go to the liquor store, whatever, just get some drinks. So we went to the liquor store, and then I see this guy in line. holding this box, and I see it, the side, like, says Cards Against Humanity. I'm like, dude, where'd you get that? Because it's been sold out forever online. Like, I know a bunch of websites, like, kind of demoed it, or, like Giant Bomb streamed them playing, and I think tested it as well, a bunch of other websites, and then it kind of just blew up. And I guess the demand was too high for the supply, and it's been sold out for, I'd say, I want to say close to a year, but it's probably more like 8 months or something like that. And I know you can finally order the cards again online, but I was lazy, and I saw this guy had it, and I was like, where the hell did you get this from? He's like, oh, I got it from a place called Snakes and Lattes. I'm like,
what
the hell is that? He's like,
that sounds like a place I'd never go to.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, where is this? And he's like telling me, and I'm like, okay, we'll go there. So I go there, and it's basically like a coffee shop, but they have a shit ton of board games. And I think they're actually licensed too, so they have coffee and stuff like that, and they have like liquor. So they had a crap load of board games, like anything you could possibly think of, and then they were selling the game there. So I'm like, fuck. So I bought it, and then we changed our plans. Like, you know what? Let's just call some like people and see if they're doing something, and we'll just play this game. And we went over to a buddy of ours' place, and his girlfriend, another friend, came over with his girlfriend, and we just played this game. And holy shit, you will not laugh so hard in your entire life, other than having a few drinks playing this game. Because if anyone's played Apples to Apples.
Right.
That's exactly what it is, but adult rated, and just some of the answers and questions are so, like, just obscene and so...
Do you have an example for us?
Not politically correct. Okay, I can't think... Okay, one I can think of off the top of my head, I can only remember, like, one question and two answers that were given for this one question. So it was, if Santa Claus were to stop giving out coal to bad children, what would he give out instead? And the only two answers that stick out in my head that were played, and okay, before I say the answers, for people who have never played Apples to Apples or haven't played this game, the rules are, one person reads out the question, so the question would be the Santa Claus one I just said. Everyone else has about like 8 cards in their hand with a bunch of random answers, and when they read the question, everyone puts down their card face down, what they think is the most appropriate answer, which one they think is going to be the most funny, whichever one you want to go at, depending on who's being the person reading the question. The person who read the question has to pick what they think is the best answer, and then whoever put that in that card gets a point. And the first person, like 7 points, whatever, wins. So that's basically how the game goes. So the question, I'll say it again, so if Santa Claus were to stop giving out coal to bad kids, what would they get instead? And I don't, 2 answers that I remember, one because I gave it, and the other one is because it was put down, it's one I remember, were black people.
Oh my god.
And AIDS.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. Johnny, you picked on your sister. Enjoy the AIDS.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and that's the. Because this thing is like, the questions are so random, and the answers are so random, and just basically, you gotta kind of read the person on what they think they're gonna go for most funny or what most fits, and that's like just the one that, I don't know, sticks out in my mind, and there's ever way worse than that. It's just whatever people put down, the answers are ridiculous, and every single round, everyone is like pissing themselves laughing. It's just, ridiculous, and I recommend it to you.
We need to pick this up and play it online with each other sometime.
That's actually a good idea.
We need to all get on Skype and just play it with each other.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking at Amazon right now.
That'd be kind of hard because you can't see what people put down. That's the whole point. But
well, we can angle the cameras that way or something. We can figure it out, or you can just say what's on it. You know, whatever.
Yeah,
like it's too fun and too much comical to not put it up in stream.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, it is. Well, let's put it this way:
our next live show, we stream.
Yeah, I was gonna say next time we're all together, we'll make a thing of it. We'll have to stream it and play this game because it
was good, man.
Everybody, like everyone, was kind of like, man, when we played it, because like everyone, Apples to Apples is fun, but no one knew it was gonna be this off the wall and just freaking crazy. And it was a good time. It was a lot of fun, and I recommend it to everybody. And it's definitely not for people who are kind of stuck up and don't have a sense of humor and politically correct. That's for sure.
But well, yeah. That's everyone we know. What the hell?
But yeah, that's about it. That's what I was up to this last weekend and stuff. So yeah,
very cool.
Chris, what about you?
Man? Oh, not a whole lot to report. I did have, a couple weeks ago I talked about my fish and, Ninja Turtles and they, and how my snail died and I thought my snail laid eggs and all that other stuff.
Oh, did it lay eggs?
No, well, apparently it did not lay eggs. Well, that snail died as well.
It just pooped.
So I had... it just pooped. That's right. So I brought some water in, had it tested out, and they said that I had some issues with the water. And after getting that fixed...
Yeah, you're peeing in it. In the middle
of the night. You know, I thought that was good for them. You know? No, they said my pH was a little acidic. And that the nitrates were high. So
this fits the peeing theory to a T, by the way, Chris.
Yeah, you were peeing in it. That fits to a T. That's amazing. Both of those things happen from pee. I actually know a thing or two about water chemistry, and that's NP, Chris.
Yep.
I'm good with that. Whatever you want to think about it, that's fine with me. I'm cool. It's good.
All right.
But
totally.
So I brought a water sample into PetSmart, and they told me what was going on. They told me this can help you with that. And so they gave me this like other solution that I put in
a diaper.
The tank. Yeah, I put this crap in the tank, and it kills one of my fish.
Don't say put this crap in the tank.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. Oh,
no,
okay.
So the nitrate reducer or whatever it was that they gave me, I put it in the tank and it killed one of my fish. I still don't know where the fish is.
What?
I don't know where it is. I don't know if it got buried beneath the gravel underneath or something like that, but it was not removed from the tank because I did not see it.
Then how do you know
stuck
it died?
In the filter?
Just because it just disappeared?
Well, it disappeared. Fish can't just kind of like...
Is it a magic fish?
It's a magic fish, yes.
I think Cisco went fishing.
It was the purple one, so it was Donatello. He's the smart one.
Are you sure it didn't jump out of the water? Because Tanya had a fish that once tried to commit suicide twice.
I'm pretty sure Tetras don't do that. There's a lid on top, and I didn't see it on the floor, so I would think not.
Okay, well, and obviously, Chris, there's one solution.
What's that?
It can teleport.
Oh, okay.
There's another one. Yeah. Cisco got smart enough to put the lid on his food when he's done.
Yeah.
But so I got all the issues worked out. Got another purple fish, and now I'm waiting another week to make sure that the levels stay where they are, so I can get a new snail. So
that just shows
you
how many people
fish.
Don't have any attachment.
It's easier having
fish
fucking dogs
whatsoever.
It is.
I don't have to balance all the
nitrates in my dog's food.
That's right.
<Yeah. laughs> And you actually give a shit
my dog's
dog
food,
does.
It doesn't bother him.
No, he likes it more. It's weird.
Warm and moist.
Hey, I did have one more quick thing that's awesome that Jeff will appreciate. You know what I found down the street from me, Jeff?
What? Dead hooker?
A delivery barbecue joint.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yes!
Just down the street from you? That's awesome.
Yep. They will deliver to me. I live in a college town, and every place wants to deliver. So these guys have sweet,
well, yeah, because
awesome
all the drunk college
barbecue.
Kids aren't going to go pick up food.
No, they do not do that. Well, this place is in what's called the square. It's just dead center in the city, so it's by all the bars and everything. And they open till 3. They're open 7 a.m. till 3 a.m. And so, you know, everybody's pouring out of the bars, drunk out of their mind, and like, you know what sounds good? A barbecue brisket wrap. I would like 3 of them. And one of the sandwiches they have on there is called the Monster, and it might sound familiar to you. It is a 6-ounce bacon cheeseburger, and the buns, grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, wow, nice.
Wow.
So, but they deliver, and they're fairly cheap. Like, that sandwich was actually only $9.
Oh, wow. That's only 9. That's pretty good.
Nope.
Yeah, like the what is it, final level at a Battle and Brew is like $14 or something?
Yeah.
Right. Now, I will say Battle and Brews is better.
Oh, okay.
I will say that.
Good deal. All right.
But anyway, have barbecue delivery.
Awesome.
I'm happy.
Speaking of Battle and Brew, let's put this out there. We are still working on Indus Fest. We're working out some minor details before we put the announcement.
Jealous.
So.
Little things like, you know, the fest.
Yeah, little things like everything.
Like all of it.
How about that?
Yeah.
I actually got an email from Greg the other day. He's like, so back in May, you asked me about the dates for Indus Fest. That's still going on or what?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah. Yeah. trying to
no,
rally
not
the truth.
Not allowed to talk about Indus Fest.
Yeah.
No.
But anyway, let's talk about some games instead.
Okay. All right.
Glenn, why don't you start?
Oh, well, the main game I've been playing a bit of, I actually have a lot of games because of this stupid Steam sale.
No doubt.
How do you say it? Dyad? Is that right?
Dyad is right, yeah. I want to correct myself. I said last week on the show that it's supposed to be terrible. I totally got Dyad mixed up with something totally different.
Yeah, you better have, because it's definitely not terrible. But I'm doing...
This game is awesome!
I'm doing a video review of it for the website, so that'll be up later on. Actually, probably around the time that you're getting this podcast, if you
hopefully.
Look on interactivedistractions.com, it should be around there within a couple days of that, if not by the time you're receiving it. But in any case, I've been playing that, and it's pretty good. I don't want to go into too many details because, you know, I'll
you're gonna review it
later. Right. But it's definitely fun in that addictive sort of way, and it's weird to have a game that you play for, you know, an hour, and then when you get done, you have no idea what the hell you just played. You have no idea what you've been doing.
So it's it's Metal Gear Solid.
No, Metal Gear Solid has a story. I don't know what this game's about.
What Metal Gear's about.
But there's nothing. It's just a game. It's a mechanic, you know? But it's a fun mechanic. So it's
fun. Is it score chasing or anything like that, or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's leaderboards. And it was fun while I had it before it was out for, you know, mainstream consumption. Mm-hmm. Because I was like number 17 on the scoreboards of like 200. And I was fuck yeah, I'm the best at this. And it's out for, it's out for 2 days and I'm in like spot 2,320.
You're like, son of a bitch.
You guys get off my game! actually at work, because I can play it in windowed view, I've been playing, The Binding of Isaac.
Oh, okay.
You guys play that at all?
No, I have not yet. Touched that.
I think awesome. I missed it on the Steam sale too.
Yeah,
twice and I think I missed it both.
It was like 75 cents or something.
Yeah, I got it for $2.50 and it was $1.30 the day before that. And I don't care what price you get it at, it's actually a pretty good deal. It seems easy because it's kind of like a dungeon crawl kind of deal. You just go, you've got like a very small map that you go through and, you only have five dungeons before you get to a boss and then you win and that's it. But if you die, you're dead. It's over. There's no lives. There's no continues. There's no nothing. You start from the beginning whenever you start again.
Okay.
So, you only start out with like being able to get hit like six times by these things. You're basically it's kind of like a twin stick shooter, to be honest, because you walk around, you know, up down left right, and then that's WASD on the keyboard, and then up down left right on the arrows are the direction you shoot in, and you just go around in these little maps and you have to kill everything in the room, and then the doors open and you just progress through. You can upgrade your weapons and things, but it's all random. Like, there's no way of knowing what you're going to get. You can't plan out a strategy. I don't know. It's this weird addictive game. So if you have the opportunity to get it, you have to get it and you have to play it for sure.
All right.
Cool.
The soundtrack's good. It's I don't know. It's hard to explain without really seeing it, but it's addictive and fun. Let's see. You know what I finally picked up that's a blast from the past is Mirror's Edge.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've been wanting to go back to that, actually.
Yeah, me too. I've actually been itching to go back to it lately.
It's one of those games I always meant to play. I downloaded the demo and thought it was fun and then just never got the game. Mm-hmm. It was on Steam for $5.
Oh, wow.
Okay. $5.
And the PC version is supposed to look a lot better than that.
Yeah, because the PC version, like, used all the extra physics shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I can't even, like, I have to turn the settings down. Everything was great until I got into a lobby where I was getting chased down by about 30 of those SWAT police guys.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they shot through a window and all the glass particles started going everywhere and the physics was, you know, making it all randomized, it just chopped to probably about 8 frames per second.
Holy shit. This
is terrible. I had to turn it down. And, you know, it's all at about high instead of ultra now.
Yeah.
Cool. Still, it looks awesome.
Oh, yeah, it looks fine. I mean, it's great. I just knocked the resolution down one notch and turned everything to high instead of ultra, and it's fine.
Very cool.
But it's really fun. The only thing I wish was a little better is I wish the combat was a little more intuitive because they don't use the face buttons at all. It's all the triggers to do everything.
Yeah, it's the bumpers and triggers.
And that's the thing. There's a couple of the combat mechanics that, like, just never seem to work.
Right.
You know, it's like the countering. The
countering wasn't too bad. I thought it was the gunplay that was.
Well, the gunplay was supposed to suck. That was the point.
Yeah.
Right. But they wanted you to not use guns.
Right. The countering, though, when you had to actually, like, specifically
disarm
hit a button
someone.
when their gun turned red or whatever it was,
oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
shit
yeah.
never worked. It barely works.
I got it to work a couple times, and that's about it. And I actually got frustrated to the point where I was in one spot that I kept playing over and over again, and I kept routing, okay, well, if I take these two guys out and then jump over this cart and then jump off this, then I could take this guy out and then go around this way and take this guy out. Well, as soon as I plan it out to where it's perfect, one of the guys goes a different direction, hits me in the back of the head with a shotgun. I'm like, oh, fuck you. So I just disarmed one guy and then just blew him all away with a shotgun.
That's when I kind of stopped playing the game, and I got like 3/4 way through, halfway through, when you kind of needed to use guns unless you actually had every level memorized. Yeah. That's why I stopped playing. I was like, this is not fun anymore. It didn't feel like I was... It wasn't smooth. The flow was just gone. I liked it when you're doing the whole parkour shit, disarming a guy, kicking a guy, and then that kept going. But once I wish there was more
rooftop stuff and less inside the building stuff. Yeah. Once you get inside, they don't really use those red triggers so much. So you know that if you go this direction, it's going to be really easy and smooth and look good and feel good to do.
Yeah.
Once it all kind of blends in, you're just kind of running around like, okay, so the fuck do I go now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been nice if you guys told me if I kicked, it would break glass so I didn't sit in this office building for, 20 minutes and get killed. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what else did I pick up in that sale? I picked up Dear Esther, but I haven't played that yet. I guess it's like a 45-minute long kind of... It was a Half-Life 2 mod, and now is a game. That about wraps that up. So, do you have...
Crazy. What have I played? I played, of course, some Street Fighters, Cross Tekken's, playing that against randoms, actually, lately. I played... This is just weird. This usually never happens. Like, I think it was like Monday night. I was like, hey, I want to play fighting games, and no one really wanted to. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to jump on there by myself. And I ended up fought a guy who was playing with a partner, and his partner had 0 battle points, and this guy had like 2,000. And I beat them pretty bad. And then the guy with 0 was obviously like brand new, so he was not that good. But he would never tag in the guy who had like a decent amount of battle points. So I was like, something's like weird here. But then right away I get a message. I'm like, oh god, here we go. It's gonna be some kind of like, oh, way to go, fag, to like cheap us out with like Kazuya and Vega.
Good job, fag.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, hey, man, you want to team up? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I ended up teaming up with this guy and put in our microphones, and we actually played for a bit and went on a decent winning streak. Seemed quite a bit younger than me, but, I mean, that's normal. He was actually good at a video game, so that usually means they're younger than me.
Yeah, they must be.
Yeah.
Oh, you actually have time to play video games. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But it was kind of cool. It was like one of the first times in a while that I met up with a random, and we played... probably for a good hour, just fighting people online and shit. It was actually a pretty good time. But that's enough Street Fighter. Played a little bit more Diablo, went to the next level. I think I'm at level 53 now, slowly getting through to 60.
Very cool.
Slowly now.
Yeah, I got to play a little bit. I played with Ken last night, and we did, we went through a little bit of, well, I played with Megan earlier this week, and that was just horrible. Not because Megan's
not
the game.
Because of Megan,
No. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that it was my first time playing an Inferno, and I was getting my ass handed to me.
That's funny.
I was actually like, when I left the game, I'm like, Megan, I'm sorry, I sucked. And then I left. And, I was talking to some of the guys about it, and I changed my character around. And the next time when I played with Ken last night, I did a lot better.
Nice.
But the only thing I really wanted to mention is Ken, Sushi X, if you guys know from Retroids, his character is level 60, and he's been playing at level 60 for a while.
Oh, it's been a while. He only has the one character.
He only plays that one character, and he got his, what he did is he went to the auction house and got all the good gear that had magic find on it. So his magic find is like, I think he said it's like plus 300% or something ridiculous like that. So we were finding rares left and right when I was playing with him. And then when the Nephilim Valor hits and you get the 5 stacks and you basically are guaranteed a rare every time you fight an elite pack, I walked out of like, literally it was like an hour of gameplay, an hour, hour and a half of gameplay. I had at least 12 to 15 rares.
But were any of them good though?
I sold one for 5 million gold.
No. I'm not talking sell it. Five million.
5 million gold. Yes.
Jesus Christ! How did you do that? How did you even decide to sell it for 5 million?
Actually, I usually what I've started doing is I start looking at things that I think are good, and I'll take the 3 top stats that are on it, and I'll go search for it in the auction house and see how much it sells for. Well, this one had I think it was a pretty high dexterity, like maybe 140, had like 180 vitality, and it had plus like 80 something resist all, which resist all is selling for a shit That's ton awesome. Right now.
Yeah.
So I looked, and like the lowest priced thing that had those stats was 4 million, and the next one up was 8 million, and I was like, 5 million sounds good. I looked at it this morning, and it was gone.
Oh, wow.
It was gone. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's the first really good drop I've gotten, apparently, because all the other shit.
And but what I'm saying, it wasn't good for your character, though, or else you would have kept it, obviously.
It was. It didn't have any intelligence bonus. That's why.
See, that's what I hate about the game. That's what stopped me from playing my high level character anymore. Is because I'm not finding. I don't want to use the auction house. I don't want to anymore.
Yeah,
I can't find anything that's good anymore. And I'm like, fuck, this game is not fun when you're not finding stuff you can use that you're picking up.
Yeah, and that's why I say the more I play this game, the more I want Torchlight.
Yeah.
I really do, because Torchlight is like, you'll get drops that are like two or three levels ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that never happens in Diablo. Diablo, I'm a level 60. I'm picking up shit from level 54. In Inferno.
Well, you can't really pick up anything that's higher than 60.
Right, but what I'm getting at is, well, the item levels go up to 63 or 64. Right.
Oh, okay.
And the actual equipable level is 60. But I'm picking up stuff that's equipable by level 53, 54.
Yeah, I know.
That's like, why am I doing that in Inferno? I mean,
now, I'm not saying I'm going to look forward to Torchlight as much more, because who knows if that's going to be a better game. I think Diablo is the best. It's definitely the best dungeon crawler I've ever played,
in my
opinion.
And I don't know
50.
If Torchlight's going to be a better game.
We don't know if Torchlight's going to be better. Yeah, it just might.
I think the loot's going to be better.
Well, yeah, because they're not going to have an auction house. They're not going to force you to go into it by making this shit the way it is.
But I was going to say, because it can't be much worse. But
yeah, and we can't. We've already gone through this a million times.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I played a little bit more of that, got up to another level, and then I was like, yeah, no one else is really online. I didn't want to play solo anymore, so I'm like, screw it. Played some Tony Hawk HD Remix. That just came out on Xbox Live Arcade on Tuesday. It's Tony Hawk. It looks really nice. It looks cool. I can't remember how to play that game at all. It does, yes.
Okay.
Does it have
the classic controls?
I think it only has classic controls.
Good.
Like I think that's the only way you can play it.
I'm getting
like,
it. No, you just connect.
Yeah. It took me first of all that I only played the trial.
It uses connect and it uses the ride controller.
The fucking ride controller.
Both together. Actually, it uses connect and a skateboard. You have to have an actual skateboard.
Well, that's what I was talking about. The ride controller.
Better than the ride. Yeah. No, he's saying an actual skateboard.
No, I mean you need a skateboard deck.
If I had an actual skateboard,
you have to actually do an ollie.
If I was able to do that, I wouldn't be playing a video game.
Yeah, just go outside. Why am I doing this?
But it's Tony Hawk. It's fun. I can't remember how to play that game. And when I was starting to play it, I did nothing, but I thought I was playing SSX, because that's the closest thing I've played to a Tony Hawk game in the last, like, fucking 6 years or so. I think the last Tony Hawk game I played is Underground, so that was a long time ago.
The only thing you need to know is X to ollie and triangle to grind.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. and
good to go.
Flip over and over. But the trial really sucks. Like, I only got the trial. You literally get to play, that's the warehouse level, which is one of the better levels.
Nice.
But you only get to play for like a minute and a half, literally.
What?
And that's not even the full, or it might be like 2 minutes, because it's got a timer, and the screen just goes white when there's 30 seconds left on the timer, and goes, thank you for playing. It's like, what? Then you can go back into it and play like another minute and a half or 2 minutes.
So
you don't even get to complete the first session. No, you don't even get to complete one heat of it. So I was like, and it's $15. It's seven of the maps or whatever. And I was like, $15. I'm like, I like this game. I remember loving it back in the day. I had it on Dreamcast, actually.
Oh, my God.
And I fucking loved it. But I'm like, I don't want to spend $15 on it right now. But it does have some added stuff. They have some physics now to the clothing and stuff. So, like, if you're wearing a hoodie with, like, drawstrings, they're kind of flapping around and stuff. And
cool.
It does look really good. Actually, I was actually quite impressed. It's actually a really good HD remake. It's not just they took the Dreamcast version or PS1 version and just put it, like, up-resed it. It actually looks pretty decent.
I remember when me and my friend John back in junior high school played that on PS1. And we didn't have a memory card.
Oh, my God.
So we got so goddamn good. Like, the warehouse level, one heat, we'd get all of the letters,
everything.
The high score, all the tapes, everything.
That's what happens when you repeat something
in one run. So we would, like, every single day after school, we'd get home, like, all right, put in Tony Hawk, and we would just take turns, pass back and forth until we got to a new level, and then we'd have to sweat it out for a while, and then, you know, the next week, we got that one down just as well. And
that's what all games were like back in the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like,
That reminds me of my Golden X time. Like when I was in middle school, no, not middle school.
I'll save it for the future. But yeah, cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Reader's Digest version.
Wait,
good
no!
point. Good point, Jeff.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Way to look it up. Way to look it up.
Just remember that. Write it down.
With your pen and paper.
That's pretty much. I played a little bit of Vanquish. I had like a day when I was like, I kind of want to play new, like different shit. I played Vanquish for a bit. That game is awesome. Still good.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Oh, I played some NBA 2K because you know the NBA season's not even close to starting, but the summer league just happened, and I do have to do a shout out to Major Poop because we played two games last night. First game, I was Oklahoma. He was the Spurs. He only ever picks the Spurs because he's not a basketball fan. He is just a Spurs fan. And I whooped his ass. Or I beat him by like 10 or something like that. And then I came back and I picked the Raptors, who are one of the worst teams in the game. The Spurs, by the way, who people who don't follow basketball, are one of the best teams in the game. Arguably the best team in that game. And I said, you know, if you beat me, I would give him a shout-out. And congratulations, Poop. You enjoy that 1-point victory that you beat me with the best team in the game, and I was the last
team. Why do you have to undermine
him?
No, give him a good. Just give him an attaboy.
Attaboy, good.
How much does
Tapping
he play the game
hustle.
Compared to how much you play the game?
I'd say we're both about equal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't sound so way to barely beat me with the 1 point. Good job.
It was 1-point victory.
Good job, practically sucking, Poop. Way to go.
Pretty much. Well, he should be happy. This is the first time I've heard. It's a long-running joke that I will never give him a shout-out on the show, but I have to stick to my word. So finally, Poop.
Sorry, he doesn't listen to us anymore. Anyway,
that's the thing. I don't even think he listens to. I don't think this is Major Poop, not Poop and Flame, but totally right. Different Poop. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
So you said Major Poop.
Totally different Poop.
it's like button. A home poop compared to a work poop.
Totally yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally
which is different
poops.
From the crap that Chris put in his fish tank.
That's right.
And exactly. And Captain Harlock right now is shaking his head, being like, "Goffy, I can't believe you just fucking gave him a shout out, but I had to." But it's a weak shout out at best.
Chris,
55,
could you censor
54.
That when you edit?
What?
You actually, that'd be funny.
Censor the shout out.
censor the name. Actually, dude, cut this. That would be hilarious.
To Major Beep.
Yeah, totally, that would be awesome, that would still make the inside joke go, that I haven't actually given him a shout-out, because it's an inside joke between me, Harlock, and him, because he's always like, give me a shout-out, and I always come close to doing it, but I don't do it, and I'll shout-out Captain Harlock, and we just laugh at him every time we're playing Xbox Live, so beep out every time I say Major Poop, and that would be hilarious, because it would keep the joke alive, and it's still kind of like, I stuck to my word.
Oh, man.
Write that down.
You're making me write a lot of stuff down. I'm going to make you edit the show, Jeff.
Yeah, I need to learn. All right, what else have I played? That's pretty much it, guys. I think that's like the gist of everything. Yep, pretty much.
Okay, cool. I don't have much to add. I played some Borderlands last night with my buddy John, who lives over here, and Jason. We actually jumped on the PS3 version, which I ended up buying for super cheap one day. Voice chat was not working for me.
That's why you use Skype.
Weird.
Skype wasn't working for me either because it just didn't like me. So every time I tried to jump onto the call, it boots me. Yeah, we still played probably a good hour, about an hour's worth. And I think we got to what's the first like really tough guy?
Nine toes
would be the shit out of that was easy.
Okay,
so the next guy, Bone Grinder or something like that.
Okay,
he was one of the jobs on the board, the first job on the board.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah, he's got that ridiculous SMG that takes your shields out in about half a second.
Pretty much,
Bone Crusher.
And so we got to about there and stopped. But the idea was that I still haven't even beaten the first Borderlands, so I need to do that before the second one comes out.
So you decided to go and play a new version of it from the beginning, as opposed to
because my other version is on Steam and it's on my old computer and it's not cloud saved, so I don't.
It's
have
not
that
cloud saved. I thought everything on Steam was cloud saved.
Apparently not Borderlands when I was playing it. So.
Oh, weird.
But yeah, so I've got to start over, and I don't actually have. I have 360 characters, but I don't have the 360 version. So, you know,
can you make it so what? You have 360 characters, not the 360 version.
Yeah, because we played. There was one
Extra
Life.
We
played the 360 version at Battle and Brew.
Yeah.
And
gotcha.
Yeah, so I have a character. I don't remember which character I picked, but I have a character that's like you know, we got about half, I think we got about a third of the way through the game, but, but it's fine. I mean, I don't mind playing it over again. So it's fun.
That's cool.
Fun as hell. And all four characters play completely different.
It's only fun with multiplayer, though, I find. I didn't like it single player.
I still think it's fun. Single player. Honestly.
I played
the
entire
player
first
that
one.
Sucks is Brick. I don't like him.
I didn't use Brick.
Yeah, actually, I think Jason was using Brick last night.
Yeah.
So I was using Mordecai because I actually have not used Mordecai yet.
Mordecai's awesome.
And
how the really?
Yeah, I haven't used him yet.
Mordecai.
Like the first
That's
character
the
I made.
That's the one everybody used.
I know. Yeah, the first character I made was the soldier dude. I can't remember his name.
I had four of him. Roland.
Roland. And then the second
one I
made
that because
was the siren.
I have a character on PC. I have a character on PC that's him, and I named him See Me Roland.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so yeah, I don't I'm have terrible. A Mordecai, so this is my first time messing with a Mordecai.
Cool. Nice.
And yeah, I have no desire to play Brick, but Jason would just walk up to, he was just walking up to Nine
bam,
Toes
bam,
and
bam,
just
bam,
beating
bam.
Brick in the face, or beating him in the face.
Beating Nine Toes in the face.
It was funny. Let's see what else. I didn't really play this, but I kind of want to mention it because I downloaded it and I messed with it a little bit, but I was really curious about, this game, that's on iOS and Android called Shadowgun, which is a third person cover shooter on your mobile device. And, more than anything, I was interested in, just what it looked like because this is probably the best looking mobile game I've seen. And granted, I haven't been able to compare it to Infinity Blade, but I mean, it straight up looks like it could be, I mean, it wouldn't be one of the high quality, like Gears games on 360 or PS3, but it looked like it could be, better than a launch title for either of those systems.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it looked pretty damn good.
I think I've heard about that. I've heard the game's not that good. If it's the same one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how good it is, but visually, it's pretty stunning. Mm-hmm. It's got pretty high res textures, particle effects going on, and the controls on the actual phone or on the tablet, because I was playing it on the tablet more than anything, are not horrible. I mean, they're not great because you're still trying to mimic an analog stick on a touch screen, but, you know, it's an interesting game, and the Android version is optimized for the Xperia Play, which means that if you can sync your PS3 controller up via Bluetooth, you can play it with your PS3 controller. So
yeah, I was just about to say, I've got an app that I actually purchased that does that.
Oh yeah,
okay. It does the Bluetooth sync. You just need you get a client tool for your laptop. And you plug it in, and you just program in the Bluetooth address that you want to tell your PlayStation remote to sync to, or your 6-axis or your DualShock.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And then after you sync it up and turn that on, it works as basically an input device.
Cool.
And I know that with I've got Grand Theft Auto 3 on the tablet. And I didn't have to set up a damn thing. It just worked.
That's cool.
With
nice.
Classic
really
PlayStation
cool.
controls.
Nice. That's really cool.
So really yeah, cool. I'll look into what that was, and I'll give you a link to it whenever I.
Yeah, please do. That'd be good because I'm interested to see how it would play with real controls, and if it's actually good. You know, it's hard to judge a game like that when you're playing on gimped
controls.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's all
even the best of those still feels odd because you're covering up your UI and everything else. I don't know.
The one thing I will say that I thought they did a pretty good job with is like when you think about a third person shooter. You know, you're controlling movement in the camera, and if you're firing and you're controlling the camera, well, you've got to keep your finger on the button to fire and control the camera. Well, the same with Shadowgun, if you hit the fire button, and then if you're still holding down, if you're still touching the screen after you hit the fire button and you start moving around, he's still shooting even though the camera is adjusting based on what you're doing with your right thumb. So, it kind of makes sense, but I'm glad that that was there. So again, I haven't really played enough of it to say that the controls are good for a touch device, but let's just say they suck and I want to try and use a controller. But, that is it, I believe. As far as a Steam sale goes, I picked up, Rage and I picked up, Walking Dead. Which was $15.
Oh, play that shit!
Yeah, I'm gonna play that. I just haven't had
time.
So
the first,
yet.
Oh, you bought the entire.
Yeah, I bought it was $15 for the season, so I bought the
That's
season.
That's really good. Yeah.
And then I bought Rage, which was $10, And I bought Cave Story Plus, which was like $1.25 or something ridiculous. So that was my.
How do you say no to those?
It's hard.
Fucking change.
It's hard. Like, it's like a dollar change. It's like I'm looking at the Steam sale right now, and it's like Plants vs. Zombies for $2.50. I already have that game, but damn, you know,
make it again. Yeah. I can buy a taco for $1.25, and that's gonna last me 5 minutes.
Right?
Why not buy a video game?
But
just make sure to pick up those coat hangers and blow torches. You did say condom, right?
No, taco, jackass.
Oh, taco! I thought you said condom.
I have no idea where Jeff just went.
A little, that was a little growing up moment.
Growing up, we'll understand.
A little growing up moment.
Yeah. I totally thought you said condom, and I thought that was funnier than that'll last you 5 minutes because that's
$1.25 condom. That's ridiculous. What the hell is that made out? It better be reusable.
Anywho, is that it, Chris?
That is it. Let's talk about some news and get moving.
All right, I got a couple things of news. I'll jam out of here quicker than I can buy a condom for $1.50
with a coat hanger.
5 minutes and a blowtorch
and a blowtorch
and a blowtorch.
Okay. I had two of them. I don't know where they went. They disappeared in our history. But the first one, it will be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It has been announced for PSN and Xbox Live, coming out in August.
Why is this a thing? You mentioned this, and I was like, I have no idea what that is.
Because I was going to say, not too many people will remember this. It was first of all, I didn't even know this at the time, but it's based off of a manga. So like an anime or whatever. But I remember it as being a fighting game made by Capcom that was released on Dreamcast way back in the day. And I think it might have came out on PS1 as well, I think. But it was a animated, like a 2D fighter made by Capcom that was licensed. It had really quirky characters and craziness, and it was just really weird. It doesn't even look like a Capcom game. It looks more of like, when you look at the actual visuals, it looks more of like an Arxis game or something like that. Something more along the lines of, what's it called? Guilty Gear or like a BlazBlue or something.
Right.
But, it's just, the reason why I bring this up as the news, because one, like, the game was pretty, I only played it very, very briefly. I definitely did not, like, read the manga or anything like that. And I was way more into, like, stuff like Street Fighter at the time. But, they're remaking it in, like, HD and stuff like that, which, if they're gonna go this, not extreme, but if they're gonna go like this kind of obscure path and Capcom's gonna re-release this, they better hurry the fuck up and release Darkstalkers at some point.
Right.
Like, to get through that series, because I think, as much as, like, JoJo's has, like, probably, like, this kind of small little niche following, and it's gonna be released probably for, like, $15 or $10. Like, get that Darkstalkers out before people are sick and tired of fighting games, because that decline has already started, Capcom.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's already going down. Like, I mean, you pissed a lot of people off with Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and going with JoJo's before Darkstalkers might not be the best idea. But it is gonna make a lot of people happy. I know, what's his, oh god, I can't remember his name on Twitter. It's gonna really bug me. Oh, shit. Anyway, sorry, dude.
That guy doesn't get shoutouts.
The guy who doesn't. I'm not going to say his name again in case Chris forgets to beep this part out. But yeah, a lot of people, got kind of excited about that. But by a lot of people, I mean that small niche people that are, that played that game, all like 15 of them back in the day, I guess. What was my other one, Chris? I had another one. Battlefield 4 was kind of officially announced, sort of.
Yeah.
They said if you pre-order the Medal of Honor game that's coming out, you will get into the Battlefield 4 beta automatically. But they're also saying don't worry, it's not the only way to get in the beta. You can get in other ways at all. It was Blue Hedgehog. How did I fucking not know that? I thought it was Blue Hedgehog. He's the guy who gave the shout out for JoJo's. He's a good guy. Played him in Street Fighter a few times and shit.
I thought it was him too.
Yeah. So Battlefield. That's Battlefield 4.
That's a thing.
That's weird to me.
Which part's weird?
The by Medal of Honor to get into Battlefield. It's weird to me that they have two games that compete with each other in the first place.
Yeah, well,
they come out in alternating years.
Well, they come out in alternating, but it's a franchise thing. Like, most people I talk to who play military shooters are, I play COD, I play Battlefield, or I play Medal of Honor. They're not, I play all three.
I think it's similar. I think it's similar to the Call of Duty thing, but not, because Call of Duty is basically separated now into Modern Warfare and Black Ops. So it's not much different, and they alternate years on that.
I played Halo, I played Killzone, I played Call of Duty, I played Battlefield. I don't know. But then again, the only one I really, really stick to and still play to this day where someone's like, hey, let's play something is probably Halo. Yeah.
Halo. Absolutely. Yeah. I like my shooters unrealistic. I can go out and shoot somebody if I want to.
Repercussion, yeah.
Could you beep that out in case I do that?
How much shit you guys would make me beep out? Jesus.
Just want to do the whole show.
Just going
to
beep the whole show, that's right.
Just do the intro. Hi,
welcome
and then
to Interactive Distraction. Beep.
It went from the no-edit show to the edit the fuck out of the show.
Welcome to episode 200 and beep.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Is that about all for news?
I got a couple things I'm going to blitz through really fast.
Yeah, go.
So one I'm mentioning very quickly. One I'm saving for the feature. Ha.
Okay.
The other one is that I'm only going to mention very quickly because we're going to get back to it later.
So
Phil Fish is a pretty vocal person in the independent game scene.
Yes. And, he did Fez for those who.
That's right.
Know.
He did Fez. And apparently Fez just released a patch. And this particular patch had a problem, which affected less than 1% of the people, where it actually deleted their save game. And what they've come out and said is that they're not going to fix this. And the reason they're not going to fix it is because it cost them $40,000 to release a patch for an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Oh my God.
That's a lot of fucking
money. $40,000. Now.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. And this is not the first time I've heard this. We have heard this in the past. It's kind of crazy that Microsoft would say, oh, you have a broken game and we're not going to just let you release this for free. It has to be retested. So we're going to charge you $40,000. And this is basically what was said. It's like this, just an excerpt from the story. It says the patch was originally pulled, as it would delete people's save files without notice. This issue apparently only plagues about 1% of players. And according to Microsoft, the patch issues happens so rarely that it is considered good enough.
Huh.
So that is.
Oh.
Kind of
be honest, 1% in any business, they're not going to recall anything for 1% of fault. Even cars, if there's like a thing like an engine's blowing up in cars, 1%. I mean, what's that documentary? I can't remember what it's called.
I tell you what, if you're a network administrator and you have a network that's down 1% of the time, you're getting fired.
Yeah, you're in
just
trouble.
So you know. Five nines is where it's at.
Five nines. Maybe four nines.
Five nines is industry standard. If you're more than or if you're worse than that, then you need to fix it.
That's crazy.
So we're gonna get back to this a little bit, but I just kind of want to throw this out there because it's a little crazy that independents get charged to release fixes to their games. I just think that's kind of crazy.
That is dumb.
So you guys keep that in the back of your mind. Just store it back there. So like put it in
might
a little...
be a question about that later.
Yeah, so we're going to get back to that in a little bit. But for now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Sega. Then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's time to wake up.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you.
I win.
Your mom welcomes back.
Hey, let's talk about Sega.
Yes, let's talk about Sega.
I do. I did love Sega for a very long time.
Yes,
and
too.
I still do. I still do.
I caught that vibe about you when I first met you. I knew something was a little off.
Yeah, I know.
I figured that's what it was.
There's something wrong with this guy. I just can't point it out. He must like Sega.
I bet you he likes Sega. That's what it is.
God damn that guy. He likes Sega. So yeah, we asked you guys to give us a little thought, your thoughts about, you know, with the idea of Sega going all digital, you know, what are you going to miss from Sega? We got a couple of responses, but apparently not, most of you don't share the love for Sega that we do. But I'm going to get into a couple of emails. First one is from Mike Strife, and he says, and remember that I do trip over myself often, so I apologize. Sega going all digital was my vision for a dirt cheap Dreamcast 2 years ago. I thought they would do well with a digital only console that was pretty much exactly the same as the old Dreamcast. Maybe with just enough CPU, GPU increase to handle 720p output on wireless and Ethernet, and a wireless and Ethernet port. Other than that, I wouldn't even care if the graphics were much better than the original system. The key would be to release sequels, the sequels people wanted for cheap. Things like Streets of Rage 4, Shining Force 4, Phantasy Star 5, Phantasy Star Online 2, and a new Panzer Dragoon. That's the way I would like to see Sega handle downloadable titles. But we all know that's not going to happen. With them hitting hard times, it's likely we are just going to see more and more Sonic games. It's actually pretty sad, but it speaks to the state of the industry right now. Because while I don't trust Sega to be able to produce the sequels I want, they have a pretty good track record these last couple of years, putting out great games as a developer and publisher. Those games just don't do very well. And if the market is demanding more crappy titles over some great stuff, I'm probably better off keeping my Dreamcast hooked up than hoping for anything good in the future from Sega. Mike Strife.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, all that good shit doesn't sell.
Yeah, Bayonetta, that's really weird. Vanquish. It's like Bayonetta. Yeah, those are the two that I was going to point out. Bayonetta and Vanquish did not sell well.
And the thing is, that's not even like Sega. That's them publishing. It's not in-house anything, but still.
But even if you go back to, you know, what some, including me, would say is probably one of the best RPGs of this generation, Valkyria Chronicles did not sell well. No. That game did not sell well.
It rode some weird gap is why. You know what I mean? Because it's an RTS, but it was weird.
But it's not. But it's not an RTS. It's a turn-based one.
It is an RTS. Yeah,
no, it's turn-based. It's not real time.
Well,
it's kind of
I see where Glenn's going. It's kind of like a hybrid. It's kind of like it's between
three different game types, and so it didn't appeal to the people who were. Because most people aren't us. That's the thing that we don't realize. Like, we'll go back and forth between whatever genre. Because
most people aren't that good.
Most people suck.
Most people are, I played this game. Like, you know, like, if you look at the people who are ridiculously good at Street Fighter, they play fighting games. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
Jeff.
People who are in Korea playing StarCraft, they play StarCraft. That's all
and
they
and
play.
And can push 89 buttons per second.
Exactly. So when you give somebody like that Valkyria Chronicles, like, oh, cool. It's is it like an RTS? Well, kind of. Is it like a turn-based strategy? Well, kind of. Is it like a tile-based strategy? Kind of. Is it like a card-based strategy?
It's all kind of.
A little bit, but it's a third-person view. Is it like a first-person shooter? Well, I mean, you kind of aim your gun, but, you know, it's all, you know, like, where you aim it doesn't really matter. So, no, it doesn't really appeal to any of the people who go for particular genres. So the only people who bought it are the people who are gamers, and really, they're kind of a subsect of the overall gamers.
This is obviously one of the ones that I was going to mention, you know, regardless.
Of course.
With them going downloadable only, how is that going to affect Valkyria Chronicles? Valkyria Chronicles as a series is pretty awesome. I you know, I played and beat the first one. I played and beat the second one after over 100 hours of gameplay. Yeah. The third one, I have the Japanese version. I've played it a little bit. I'm actually, now that I've heard that they're actually going to release a fan-made English patch, I'm waiting for that to hit. But now, the latest thing out of the Valkyria Chronicles camp is that Valkyria Chronicles D, or Valkyria Chronicles Duel, is going to hit mobile platforms, and it's going to be a card game. And, you know, on one side, I'm just glad to get more Valkyria Chronicles. On the other side, I'm like, if you would have put out a sequel on PS3, it would have done a shit ton better than the first one.
That'd be debatable. Because the first one...
That's the thing. It's like the first one, nobody knew what it was.
Yeah, I think the second one would have done better.
The second one
would have done better, for sure.
The second one would have killed it. Well, I'm not going to say killed it.
That's the thing.
Yeah. I would say it would have sold at least double. It would have sold at least double what Valkyria Chronicles has made up till today. And the reason I say that is because...
the franchise.
It was one of those niche titles, those niche titles that everybody... If you haven't played it, you've probably heard about it by now. You know?
Well, I mean, when the first one was released, remember, it was in such low it was like, didn't sell that great, but then word of mouth spread, and they didn't have enough supply, and then they had to actually make another run of them.
Right.
To get
right.
stores, and yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that makes me, that leads me to believe that if they made a second one on PS3, it would do better than the first one did.
Yeah, I agree with that, but would it have done enough to make them a profit? That's where it gets debatable. Because doing better than the first one isn't saying much.
You know, there's the development question of what's the development cost for PSP versus PS3. I'd imagine it would be
It's much less.
More.
Yeah, it's significantly
less. For the PS3. Yeah, so, well, but the other question is, too, once they already have all of those assets that they've already programmed for the PS3, what's the cost in downscaling that so that it'll actually fit onto a portable and then making a game out of it, you know? So I don't know. I'm on the fence on that. But you're right. If they did put it out on PS3, there were more people who actually knew the Valkyria name at that point that would have picked it up for a sequel.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. And you know, it's really a shame because you know, whereas I think that the second one from a gameplay perspective was a better game, the first one had more character and more personality, and it was It just had a better presentation to it in general. Like, overall, like, music, visually, like, the way they did things in the game, it just had a better presentation to it. And I think it would have really benefit them to put it on PS3 and to keep a lot of those assets that they had from the first one in place. And they didn't do that, so.
Spend more time on the story and less time on the making these assets work.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, he brought up a good point. Like he said, he wanted like the Dreamcast 2 to be like an all digital thing. And to be honest, that would be something that Sega probably would have done about 3 years too early, because they seem to be ahead of the curve on a lot of things. So and then it's just like, oh man, a couple years later, it's like then it gets popular. And I really think that Sega did with their software what they did with their hardware in regards to they let people down too much. With their hardware, namely the 32X and the Sega Saturn, in America anyway, that people just kind of gave up on them, and I think that's kind of what happened with their software as well. Because when they went software only, they didn't really have an identity. They kind of like, they would hit, certain games would go on PS2 and certain games would be on Xbox.
That's true.
And they didn't really,
they kind of faded into the ether.
Like yeah, and it's like they kind of split their own market because they want to, if they were to pick a side at that point, like, we're gonna make games, like, exclusively for PlayStation or exclusively for Xbox, that would have, I think, made a huge difference because it basically, like, Sega fans were pretty hardcore.
Yeah, if they would have done that, they would also have gotten the promotion backing from either Sony or Microsoft.
Right. Oh, exactly, That's true. Like, I was torn, like, when I'll go into this more when I'm doing my whole referencing Sega, but when they basically announced they're out of the hardware business, they're going to go software, I didn't know, that's why it took me a long time to buy either Xbox or PS2, because I was still a huge Sega fan, but I didn't know which Sega games I wanted more. Like, if I wanted to play Virtual Fighter or Sonic, I had to buy a PS2. But if I wanted to play Gun Valkyrie or Gungrave or something like that, or there's another one that was released on there that was like a Dream or Jet Set Radio, I'd have to buy an Xbox. And it totally I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I actually, at the time, I had a PS2. And when they released the Xbox with the Jet Set and Sega GT, I snatched that up, you know, faster than I knew what to do with it. And then I played both games and was sorely disappointed with both of them.
Yeah, because it seemed like they weren't concentrating enough on their IP. Like, when they were Sega, when they were competing with Nintendo mainly, and for the early years, Sony, they made sure every one of their games was polished to shit. Like, ran really well, was done as best they could. We're seeing when they went multi-platform, they kind of were like, let's just get the games out there, because they're going to sell just because they have a Sega name on it. But it kind of backfired for the early parts. And I think people kind of fell out of that. They're
kind of
like,
didn't fire at all, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And then now they're kind of stuck where they were back in 2001, 2002, when they decided to go this route.
Speaking from, I'll say, because I have a probably unique perspective between the three of us, because I never had a Sega console myself. I was one of those that I had the Nintendo consoles, and I had the friends that had Sega consoles that I used.
Yeah.
So they never had an identity to me. Like, I couldn't have pointed out to you before they kind of said, okay, we're just going to do software. I couldn't have pointed out a title necessarily that was, you know, Sega made this title. You know, I couldn't have pointed out a first-party title to you.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, you know, the staples.
Sonic,
but
Streets of Rage.
Right. Things everybody
Shinobi.
Knew.
Shinobi. Yeah.
Right. But other than that, like, I wouldn't have been able to pull it out of a lineup and say, oh, yeah, this title, clearly, if you look at it, is polished way more and a better... I wasn't thinking any of that shit. So when when they were just doing software at that point, I was like, oh, well, who gives a shit about that? Who cares?
Well, because you have an experience. That's why exactly. It's like,
and that's what most. I think if you look at the numbers, I mean, the majority of people were either, you know, for the one generation Nintendo, for the next generation Sony, and then the next generation split between Sony Xbox. You know, it wasn't the Sega generation. I think was kind of lost in a gap somewhere.
Yeah.
It got lost after Genesis, because Genesis and Super Nintendo in America were basically split 50-50.
50-50.
Like,
right after
pretty
that,
much right
was
down the middle.
And I mean, Dreamcast was a rare thing to come across. It was odd to have a friend who got a Dreamcast. Like, you asked them, like, really? Like, did your parents not understand what you asked for Christmas?
Well, that's the thing. The Dreamcast was freaking amazing. And
I was actually going to say that it's more rare to see people with a Saturn.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, way more than
my cousin had a Saturn.
Dreamcast was like that was one of the things, like, I gave up. I didn't give up on Sega, but after the Saturn, that I sold my Saturn for a PlayStation. And that's what I ended up going with. And then when I actually saw the Dreamcast was out, and I actually a buddy of mine worked at Blockbuster, and they got the systems early and brought one home. We played games like Soul Calibur and Raider Rumble and all that stuff. And I was like, "Holy crap, I'm back on the Sega bandwagon, cuz this is way better than anything." Like, this is a huge fucking leap. Like, Soul Calibur was the first game that I played on a home console that blew the arcade version away in every single aspect. Graphics, sound.
Soul Calibur was pretty fantastic.
I was like, holy crap, because I just played that in the arcade, like, a little bit before, and then when I played on the Dreamcast, I'm like, oh my god, this looks, like, unbelievably better. Like, holy shit. And, but I think at that point, it was too late. But it got me back on the Sega bandwagon. I was like, okay, well, you know what, maybe this Sony PlayStation 2 thing isn't going to be that great, but of course, by this time, Sega was screwed, EA dropped them, no EA games came out for Dreamcast, Capcom was one of their bigger supporters, actually. All the best versions of the 2D fighting games are all in Dreamcast, by far, Dreamcast and Saturn, but other than, like, a couple big publishers, they didn't have too much. Like, of course, Square was not on their side, like, not, you know, publishing for them. Or
Saturn PlayStation era was really weird, because, like, the Saturn had they were like, at the last minute, they were like, oh shit, we need 3D, and they threw in a 3D chip.
That's the thing.
And then the PlayStation could not do 2D.
Oh god, no, it literally couldn't.
Yeah. Like, all the 2D games were just textured polygons running, you know.
Yeah, if you played any one of the Capcom fighters on PS1 and then played it on
totally
Sega Saturn,
missed out.
There was a huge fucking difference. It was ridiculous. it was like playing Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis versus Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo version was a hell of a shit ton better, like, minus the whole, like, blood code thing on being on Genesis, but there's actually a big difference, especially in the first game. Like, it looked way better. and ran way better on Super Nintendo.
Right.
But that was the way it was with Saturn versus PlayStation 1 with Capcom Fighters. It was ridiculous, like missing large frames of animation. And
okay.
This was
Let me ask you if this is weird then, if we're talking on a rarity of console standpoint for my friends slash family that had these. So one of my cousins had a Genesis, which was obviously common.
Yeah.
And I had a friend down the street who had a Genesis. My best friend in junior high school, he had, what was it? I think it was the CDX, the one that you could throw batteries in and would be a portable CD player.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
He had that. Mm-hmm. And then my cousin had a Saturn, but I never knew anybody who had a Dreamcast.
Really?
I didn't know a single person ever who had a Dreamcast.
That's crazy, because I'm pretty sure Dreamcast sold a lot better in North America than Saturn did. Because it released at a really good price point. I think it was $199. I think it was $199, actually.
I'm pretty sure that it did.
I remember the launch of it was pretty good. Like, because Sega was dumb. They did a sneak launch with the Saturn. They didn't have an actual, like, they said it was going to come out in the fall.
Oh, hey, look, here's
and
Saturn.
They randomly came out in the summer. Yeah, pretty much. They kind of pulled, like, an Apple, which, again, kind of ahead of its time. Like, if Sega was as big as Apple, that shit might have worked. But they weren't. So people were like, oh, wait a second. It's also $500 or $600 at the time,
now,
too.
From a worldwide perspective, the Saturn sold slightly more.
Well, worldwide, but North America,
sure
Dreamcast sold a lot more.
Yeah, North America, Dreamcast sold more than double the Saturn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Saturn didn't sell at all in North America. And that's because Sony, because a lot of people in North America, like I am akin to this as well, the new hotness and graphics is kind of what grabs people at first. Yeah. And when you saw games like Toshinden, and as dumb as it may sound, the Jumping Flash, and Resident Evil versus... When you compare Toshinden to Virtual Fighter, Virtual Fighter on Saturn was it was a mess. It didn't even look like even close to the arcade version, and the arcade version came out like years before that, and they couldn't even match it on. And it was like it came with the system. I think it played well, but it had a lot of like pop in and fucking clipping and stuff like that. But it just didn't look good. But then you had played Toshinden, which was a shitty ass game, but looked really pretty. It had like transparencies and all the stuff that the Saturn couldn't do. And, that kind of got people to... Or Ridge Racer, which actually looked like the arcade version on PlayStation.
Yeah,
but then
next
Daytona,
which didn't look that
didn't look
at all.
It played just like the arcade version, but it just did not look like the arcade
version. And that's what really confused me about the Saturn, because the Saturn... I mean, Sega should have planned for that, because Sega had these really good polygonal games, these 3D games, and they just didn't plan for it. It's like, oh, we're just going to make this system, like, it's just going to be an upgrade from the Genesis.
Yeah.
And use CDs.
And it was supposed to be based off the, I think it was called the AR2 chip, or AR, whatever their arcade system was running these 3D games on, but without, I guess, a 3D card. And Virtual Fighter 2, though, was really good. Virtual Fighter 2 actually looked really good on the Saturn.
Yeah, they really worked on that
perfect.
A lot better.
Yeah, they probably really fucking buckled down, because Sega was the only people who could really actually kind of do 3D, like, on the Saturn. Like, Knights at the time, it looked really good. Going back to it now, it's kind of an eyesore. Actually, most 3D games on the Saturn are an eyesore to this
game. One of my favorite games on Saturn, Panzer Dragoon Saga. It looks like...
Oh, it looks like
ass.
That entire generation was terrible for 3D games.
What is?
That whole generation, if you look.
Oh, that's true. Even,
all of them.
But okay, imagine
because
Glenn, you said you didn't really like play too much Saturn or even at all.
No,
if you think
much.
PlayStation 1 games look bad now, you need to go back and see some Saturn games.
I played some. What was the? There was a rally game on there that my cousin had. I played and it was not.
Oh, Sega Rally.
No,
probably.
Yeah. That was
that game's awesome.
Sega.
No, it was Saturn too. Sega Rally 2 was Dreamcast. The original Sega Rally was Sega Saturn. Same with that Turismo game, what the hell that game was called? And Manx TT, that motorcycle game and shit.
Yeah.
Like all those arcade ports.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Can we all agree, though, that Sega's real issues came up when they went away from the blast processing? Like,
blast processing, man.
It went downhill all after the Genesis, basically.
If they just rode that train right into the ground, like, that would have That would have nailed it, I think.
And the thing is, that worked back. Like, their marketing campaign, ad campaigns were awesome.
Like, watch those commercials now, though. Like, they would not work.
They're cheesy as hell. They would never work now. Yeah.
Sega!
Well, let's real quick, before we...
let's do another email.
Before we move on, let's comment on the other games that he mentioned. Streets of Rage 4. God, don't we have this game yet?
Well, we had this conversation about what it is. Like, I remember the first time I played Streets of Rage, and I said on the last show, I think, that I was a huge, like, Sega fanboy, and even though I knew in back of my mind the Super Nintendo was a better console, there are certain games I knew that were better on Genesis, or that Genesis had better games than Super Nintendo. One, I really love Final Fight, and I was so jealous that Final Fight was not coming to Sega Genesis, and then when they announced Streets of Rage, I was automatically going to be like, oh, it's going to be better than Final Fight. But I think that was the first game I actually played. My buddy of mine, Martin, he got that game, like, went to the flea market, his mom bought it for him, whatever, and we played that at his house for, like, 6 hours straight. And that was one of the first times, after we played, I was actually, like, legitimately being like, that is a much better brawler than Final Fight. And it's not an arcade game, it's just a game made for Sega Genesis to compete against Final Fight. And I was so happy, I was like, finally... something I have bragging rights for. But yeah.
What else do we got?
I love that series.
Shining Force 4.
Yeah, I played the first one and two.
I have the first. I played the first three, and I played a little bit of the Game Gear one. So, Phantasy Star 5. Oh my God, where is this game?
Never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen.
Four was so good.
Yeah, PSO 2, which is coming out soon. It's, you know, they announced it was going to be coming out in March, and, we'll probably get more to that a little later. And then a new Panzer Dragoon. I want to see a fucking new Saga, because Panzer Dragoon Saga was one of my favorite RPGs. It was so unique.
It was good.
And, like, the combat system alone was...
first RPG I ever beat.
Yeah. Oh, was it really?
Yeah. That was the first.
It was
RPG
just
I
a fantastic. I mean, it was a short game. It was only, like,
four discs.
Yeah, it was four discs, and it was maybe 20 hours long. But it was like the one thing that I remember loving about the game so much is the combat. And
the combat was cool.
They haven't made any game like that ever since. And Sega, all they have to do is just like, we need a sequel to this.
Well, Orta sold like crap on Xbox, and I think that's probably why. They need to, Saga probably will never get an HD remake because apparently the code is lost forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can probably at least do the first and second game over again. Actually, didn't the first game come out on Xbox Live and PSN?
I don't think so.
I don't know. But they could at least do, Panzer Dragoon, what was the second one called? Had like a weird name to it. Zwei? Panzer Dragoon?
Zwei?
Dragon Zwei?
Yeah.
At least bring out those ones again or something. And then see, and then, you know. Because Orta, I thought, was amazing. I don't know if you guys played Orta.
Yeah, I have Orta. I have Orta.
Yeah, Orta's really, really good.
Yeah.
But that type of gameplay, kind of, it's an on-rails third-person shooter, which
it's like Star Fox. Or Super Thunderbird.
Super
Thunderblade.
Exactly. It was like pretty much kind of like that shit, but I don't know.
Still, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, this one comes from MikePSN08, and he says, hello to you, Sonic Indis people. I have to admit, I will miss Sega's old arcade gem titles like Space Harrier, Afterburner 2, Outrun, and so on. I also will miss the old school RPGs like Shining Force, Phantasy Star 2 through 4. Dude, if you haven't played
Shadows
1, you need to go back and play 1, because 1 is so much better than 3.
Which game?
Phantasy Star, the original Phantasy Star on
Master System? I never played 1. I played a little bit of 2 and 4. That's it.
Don't play 3.
Yeah, I heard 3 is not even a Phantasy Star game.
It's really not.
It's basically like what they did with Mario 2, but Mario 2 is actually good. It was a totally different game. They just slapped the Phantasy Star name on it.
It is actually considered a Phantasy Star game. I mean, it wasn't actually created from something that was different in Japan. But the thing is that they had people working on Phantasy Star 2 and a, like, not as good team working on Phantasy Star 3 at the same time.
They came out like 6 months apart or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
they came out super close together. But Phantasy Star 4 is probably one of my favorite RPGs of all time. It was really good.
It's good. It's up there with Final Fantasy VI for all the people. Maybe naysayers, give 4 a chance. It's pretty good.
4
doesn't look as pretty.
Awesome.
Doesn't have like the best like animations and shit.
I would disagree. I think 4 looks a lot better than any Final Fantasy on a 16-bit game.
Really? You think it looks better than Final Fantasy? Senate
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And Skies of Arcadia, which is my favorite RPG of all time, by the way. Only thing I love to see is it digitally remastered their old school games, or take some Japanese games like this, the Shining Force 3 scenario collection. What? Mike.
Oh, because they had.
What are you doing here?
No, they had the Phantasy Star collection, but they had like didn't they have like three different collections of the Phantasy Star collection?
Did they?
I think
take
so.
Some like, Japanese like games ones. Like the Shining Force 3 scenario collection from Saturn.
Okay, that's not at all.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And localize it all here.
Oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. Shining Force 3 for the Saturn had three chapters. Two of them never made it to North America. So there's Shining Force 3,
right.
Shining Force 3, Chapter 2, Shining Force 3, Chapter 3.
Oh,
and
God,
those never made it to North America. I got your bike, Mike Penis.
You got his bike?
I mean, I got his bike.
I like the idea of them going digital to stay around, but I like to see them do more remakes of their greatest title series and titles. I wish they would try to come back to the console market. Never happened. And see who the real Sega fans out there really are. Well, that is all I have to say for now. Later, dudes. Mike, PSN 08. I will say this. If Sega were to release a system tomorrow, I would likely go buy it.
Still. I would too. I would too, no matter how, like, whatever the distribution is, whether it's retail or thing. Because I'm going to say this. This is where I think, again, Sega was kind of ahead of their time, kind of dropped the ball. A lot of Sega games are based on arcade games, like something like Crazy Taxi, like Space Harrier, Afterburner, which are games you put in a quarter. You play for a time limit, and you try to get a high score. These games are still being made by Sega and being released on Xbox Live and PSN, but they're not selling because I think that just gamers these days don't really... I don't think they value that as much anymore. You know, like, I remember when
score Crazy chasing Taxi... isn't as much of an issue anymore.
No, you know? But it's, yeah, because you have, like,
leaderboards. It's a smaller collection of gamers that do score chasing.
And, yeah, and you never buy, like, I remember when Crazy Taxi came out on Dreamcast, I was calling EB Games every single day. Because it's like, you know, internet was still around, but there was not like solid like release dates. Like, do you have Crazy Taxi? And when they finally had it, I was in college, first year of college. And I played the shit out of it. And then when that came out on Xbox Live, I downloaded it, or the trial, and I played it a couple times. It was like, alright, well, this is all the game is. And I, at the same time, I was kind of like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Like, that's all the game is, but that's what I had so much fun with back in the day, and it didn't bother me. Like, I paid $50 or $60 for this game back in, like, 99, or it was, like, 2000 or something like that, or 2001, and I played the shit out of it. And this Outrun, have you ever guys played that on Xbox?
Oh, hell yeah.
Still a fucking great game. The new one that they made for a downloadable, but didn't do too well because it was like, oh, it's like $10 or $5 for all you're doing is racing to see how far you can get. But that's what made a lot of those games fun back in the day. And I think just people, like, especially our generation, kind of lost touch with that. I can't blame the younger generation because they don't know what Sega, the old Sega is. So, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But.
Well,
I had a point there, but I didn't remember how to finish it.
My big thing is I'm not as worried about them going digital only. Because they're showing that they can do it, and what I mean is like I mean let's regardless of what you think about how they're doing this one, Sonic is pretty good. Sonic 4 is not too bad. All right. Outside of that, Phantasy Star Online 2 is people are loving it right now. It's out in Japan now. It's coming out in March, and people are loving this game. I mean, Giant Bomb has talked about it the past 2 weeks, and trying to remember who is
Jeff Gerstmann.
Is it Jeff? Yeah, so Jeff has been talking about it, and he's like, and he hated Phantasy Star Universe, but and he's loving Phantasy Star Online too, because they went back to how the game worked when it was Phantasy Star Online. There's a central hub, and you go and you kill shit, and you find cool stuff, and that's what it's about. And you know, they're making that experience as a downloadable title free to play. And it's getting a lot of good positive press. So if they can do that on a larger scale with hopefully some of their older franchises and bring those back, and granted, I know they probably won't, but that's what I want them to do. That's what I'm hoping that they're like, I'm hoping that all the people that work at Sega that are listening to this podcast, none of them, are saying, oh, you know, that's a really good idea. I want Streets of Rage 4.
I would love to want Streets of Rage 4.
He's an idea, man.
He's an idea. I would love Streets of Rage 4 with hand-drawn HD sprites. Would be fucking amazing, but, you know. But I think they're just doing, they're not selling that well downloadable. But that's what makes it funny that they're going to go digital. Maybe they're selling better than I think they are, but that'd be awesome. I'd love to see so many, like, well, Alex Kidd is pretty terrible. Sonic. So, okay, Glenn, just because you live in Florida. I just remember buying an EGM. Parents are driving to, we're going to Florida for like a week or whatever. Picked up an EGM for the drive. And on the cover was a Sonic the Hedgehog character, which I've never heard of. And it was like a 4-page spread in EGM of how this Sonic mascot's gonna, like, you know, blaze its way into consoles and do battle with Mario. And it's like, I remember just looking at this. I read this article dozens of times while I was there, looking at pictures, being like, this shit's gonna be awesome. And it was pretty legit. The first time I touched Sonic the Hedgehog, I was like, this is pretty awesome. Now, would I rate Sonic above Mario these days? Probably not.
Not so much.
I wouldn't even have back then. But I don't think that they could... It's weird, because they are both platformer-style games.
But they're totally different.
They don't even seem like they're the same genre.
Yeah, they feel completely
totally different. Yeah.
Ironically, though, I play Mario like Sonic. Like, I speedrun the whole damn thing.
I
play it as fast as I possibly can.
Sonic actually ruined platformers for me, because every single one, I feel like I need to play like Sonic the Hedgehog and get to the end as fast as possible with the most, like, the best route. And it literally has ruined platformers, because that's what I played. I played Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3. Didn't have Nintendo consoles until, like, later. Of course, I played the shitload of Mario at friend's house. But to this day, Rayman is not meant. You don't have to play through that shit fast. Like, you're not being timed. But when I was playing Rayman Origins, my first thing was get to the end of the fucking level as fast as possible. And all because of fucking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Anytime I play any classic Mario, I always ask the question, why do I have to push the B button or the Y button? Like, can't speedrun just be the default? Like,
yeah.
I never take my thumb off of that. Yeah, why that's why true. Do I have to do that?
That is true. That's the same here, actually. I do that all the time. Keep that shit on there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Here's one thing that I was pretty surprised about, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but so, you know, with the Steam sale going on, they've got these pack deals that are, that are happening. And there is a Sega Collection pack deal.
Okay. Right?
It is $50.
Oh, God.
And it comes with, like, fucking
every game Sega's ever made.
72 games.
Oh, wow.
What?
And these are all crazy, like, old school Genesis games that
but
it comes
with. Can it really compete with the PopCap collection? That's my role.
But, I mean, it's like there's some good stuff in here. Beyond Oasis is in here. Actually, in recent stuff, too, like Binary Domain, which
I didn't even know that was Sega.
Yeah, they published it, I believe. Mm. But, you know, Bonanza Brothers, which was really fun.
I remember that.
That was not many people remember that game, but like the Eco series and the Golden
Alien
Axe series.
Alien vs. Predators in there.
Alien vs. Predators in there. Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, Gunstar Heroes.
Who doesn't love that?
Can we talk about Gunstar Heroes for a second? That game was fucking awesome. The reason
that
I bought the game was again because of EGM.
One of the best 16-bit games ever.
I'm going to say this right now, better than Contra. Hands down, that game was fucking amazing.
Really?
I think I could agree with that, because it was so much faster paced, and it had so much more, the environments were much more interesting. You know? I can get on board with that.
Hand-to-hand combat, switching between guns, two players, like, it's colorful, and fucking the graphics were awesome. That was like, I think that was one of, might have been one of the last Genesis games I actually bought, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I actually bought
it. But I have it on like every console. I have it like every, I have it on PSN, I have it on Xbox. It's like, that's one of my
favorite. Gunstar Heroes on Steam alone is $1.80 right now.
Yeah, it's so good. Actually, we'll see, before you pick it up, see how much it is on PSN right now. Just because we can play it online.
It's more than $1.80, I promise.
Is it? Well, then maybe I'll get it on PSN.
Probably $12.
Then I'll get it on PC, Steam. Then we can play it. Because it's like, it's such a good game. It's way more cartoony than Contra, but it's the same thing. It's a side-scrolling shooter, and just fucking awesome. Love that game.
Yeah, this collection
that was made by Treasure. So good.
Sonic Generations.
Yeah, because Treasure was
Sonic
exclusive
Generations
to Sega
is
at
in
time,
there,
wasn't it?
Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3.
All the Fantasy Stars, 2, 3, and 4. Well, not all
no
of them. The first
shit.
One's not on there. The Shining games, Shining Force 1,
Virtua
2,
Fighter
and Shining 2. Darkness.
Virtua Fighter 2.
What about Shining the Holy Ark?
Vector Mand 1 and 2.
Those games are hard as balls.
Vector Man? So oh, hard. God, they are, like, ridiculously
oh,
hard.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Shining in the Darkness, you said, Jeff?
Yeah. The what?
Shining in the Darkness, you said?
Yeah.
And Shining in the
Darkness
arc.
Was a very, very cool game. It was a very simple first-person, menu-driven RPG where mm-hmm. there was a town and there was a cave. And you go to the town and you get your stuff and then you go to the cave and you kill stuff. It was very simple, but it was all first-person. Because of that, they were able to concentrate a lot on the visual presentation, and they did a really good mm-hmm. job with it. So, and there's a sequel, well, kind of a pseudo-sequel, that came out on Saturn called Shining the Holy Ark.
Yeah.
Which, again, it was all this, like, super pre-rendered, animated, enemies and stuff like that. It was all very, very cool.
I bought that game the same day I got appendicitis. True story.
It probably caused it.
But one of the things I was going to say, since we're talking about this
the good version of Double Dragon.
No kidding. Golden Axe was one of my games.
Okay, I want to talk about two major games, but go ahead, finish your thing. Golden Axe is one of them, and then the other one's a different one.
So, Glenn, you were talking about how you used to go home and play Tony Hawk without a memory card.
Yes.
I used to, when I was in early high school, so like we're talking 9th, 10th grade, I used to play the original Golden Axe to completion, which only took about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Every day. Every day I played it. And I actually got to the point where I was so good at doing it, I could do it without continuing. I couldn't do that today, but I had a fantastic time with that game. And I gotta be honest with you though, Golden Axe 2 and 3, not as good, and that new Golden Axe piece of shit that came out.
Golden Axe 2 is not too bad, 3 was not good.
3
at all,
was not good.
2 was decent. First, one of those Golden Axes, I didn't even hear about this game played. I just remember one of my babysitters saw me, like, reading some kind of video game magazine. He's like, hey, you play this game called Golden Axe by Sega in the arcade? And he was describing to me. I'm like, no, that sounds awesome. But never seen it, whatever. It was in no arcade close to my place. And then one day I was reading a game person with that, and it was an advertisement. I don't know if anyone remembers the 16-bit Genesis advertisements where it showed like a big, it would be a big TV, which is the main advertisement on one page, and would have a screenshot of the game saying what it was. And on the right-hand side was a bunch of small TVs with a bunch of other Sega games on it. I know this is going like showing my age, whatever. I remember this ad to this day. And
I remember.
Exactly.
In my day.
And they showed a picture of a dragon breathing fire with a big barbarian jumping up in the air, swinging a sword, and another barbarian chick, like, beating up someone else. And I'm like, this is the game he's talking about.
In a bikini.
Yeah, I'm like, this looks amazing, and I had no idea when it came out, and I remember when I got that for, like, I can't remember what I got it for a birthday or something like that. I played the fucking shit of it. And, of course, the second game...
Oh, this pack has Lance Stalker.
Before Landstalker, remember that is dude Strider. When Strider first came out of Genesis, the first 8-meg game on a home console, that shit was $100 in Canada. That was before NAFTA and all that kind of shit. So there was no, like, the prices there were totally different. Like, there was probably like $60, $50. Here it was $100. And I got that, I think, for Christmas or something like that. And I was the happiest person on the face of the planet. And I actually beat that game. And going back literally just to, not the last MGC, the one before that, when Sushi actually found me a copy of Strider, I was looking everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And he actually found me a copy. I was like, sweet. And me and Repeat actually sat down, and we couldn't get past the second level. And I remember beating this shit.
Yeah,
on
me too,
I played
dude.
So much. And I was like, how the hell did I do this? Because this is ridiculously hard. And it pissed the hell out of me. And but that game, I remember it had the best graphics in the entire world when I first played it. And in my head, it still had the best graphics. But then playing it at MGC, I was like, this doesn't look that good anymore. But man, that was the best game ever made. Oh, so good. And Lance Stalker.
I remember being the first game, it was the first game I can remember where you could wall jump.
Yep, you can wall jump, do that.
That mechanic, for whatever reason, as a kid, blew my fucking mind.
Yep, like, weird, different ways of jumping blew my mind. Like, if you didn't just jump, if you did, like, a flip or, like, a cartwheel in the air, that was, like, amazing. Like, oh my god!
Wait, there's 10 frames of animation in this jump? It's not just his fist goes up in the air and comes back down? What's this shit?
Exactly. I can grab one of the walls, holy shit. I can climb? Oh my god! In fucking Shinobi 3, when you can fucking climb, like, do hand hand over hand shit on platforms, I blew my fucking skull. I'm like, Jesus.
When it came to Shinobi, I was always a big fan of Shadow Dancer. Because you had the friggin' dog that came with you and would like
charge,
you could actually
tackle them,
get the dog to attack enemies. It was awesome.
Yep. So good. Shadow Dancer was awesome. Spellcaster, do you guys remember that game? That game was cool.
The best part is somebody in a boardroom somewhere had a meeting where they're like, dude, what if you could climb shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, you are brilliant. My God. That's going in.
That's amazing.
Strider's so good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm actually really tempted to buy this this Sega pack now.
Did you
72
see how much you
games,
save?
Man. That's crazy.
Did you see how much the saving? Like, they break everything down individually.
Yeah, it's like $230-something savings.
No, it's $187.89.
Wow. When you think about it, it's less than $1 a game. Yeah, they said it's $50 and there's 70-something games. Yep.
It should cost you $237.88 and they're selling it for $50. That's ridiculous. Wow.
I could literally remember, you know, like, our, the topic kind of went a little bit off of what I kind of intended it to be, but I could, like, literally reminisce about Sega stories and experiences with Sega shit for fucking, like, another 2 hours.
Probably, yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Let's move this show forward a little.
All right. Well, let's wish Sega good luck, and hopefully they stick around, because...
And all you fuckers, download Phantasy Star Online 2 and play it with us.
I will. I saw that jiggly graphics. I'm all up on that.
It's pretty sexy, dude. the jiggly graphics. Yeah, that's not sexy.
It's not.
The visuals in general look pretty good, but those boob physics, not so good.
They're sexy and there's 90, and that's 90.
Cool. God. All right, let's do new releases then.
I want to talk about Sega.
Nope.
Last, the Fighting Vipers, man. Oh, man.
Oh, Fighting Vipers. Fighters Megamix?
Fighter Megamix.
New releases.
You can fight
new
as a
releases.
Car and Pepsi, man.
New releases.
Sorry,
new releases. Okay.
Last Bronx.
For PlayStation 3, we are getting...
Burning Rangers.
Burning Rangers was awesome. For PS3, we're getting Burning Rangers. Way to mislead all of our listeners.
Oh my God.
They're all going to be pissed off next week now.
The good version of Flashback.
The good version of Flashback. For PS3, we are getting Malicious. Adidas My Coach, or Me Coach? M-I Coach?
I think it's My Coach.
Okay, My Coach. And Foosball 2012. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Foosball.
Sorry, are you serious?
Foosball. 360
Foosball,
is getting...
Foosball, the video game?
Rastan!
Is this a video game of a simulated game?
Just stop.
Sorry.
Oh, yes, we know Sega has a ton of good shit. We're done.
Spy versus Spy. Elf, man!
Stop.
Alpha's pretty terrible, but yeah, I had that.
Okay, PS3 is
for the Master System.
PS3, 360 is getting that Kinect Angry Birds bullshit, otherwise known as Racketeer, and Adidas Mom's Coach or whatever. Let's see.
We're
for
getting
PC,
Adidas Chris's Coach.
PC's getting Legends of Pegasus, Prototype 2, Rusty Hearts Reborn, Inversion, Ensemble Online, and American Mensa Academy.
Please tell me Ensemble Online is some sort of massively multiplayer online game where you follow a celebrity around and get into clubs.
Like Ensemble Online is an open-world sandbox, massively multiplayer online real-time strategy game with role-playing elements. That is literally the description I've got.
Cyborg Hunter.
That says nothing.
Sega's I know, it's Metroid. Like, whatever.
It's a game.
It's a game with RPG stuff.
It's a game lots of other people will play online with you.
Well, probably not lots. Let's be honest. 3DS is getting Dot Runner Complete Edition and Planet Crashers.
Kid Chameleon? Come on.
Jeff, that's in the pack.
Jeff,
that's
I love
in the
you.
Sega
shut
pack.
The fuck up.
Jeff, that's in the Steam pack. Go buy it.
Is it really?
It is in the Steam pack, yeah. It's in the 40.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it's on the Genesis Collection I have for PSN, too.
Nice.
Actually.
Good.
Or PS3.
Vita is getting a game.
What?
Foosball 2012.
Oh, God.
Come on. I don't want to buy a video game of a simulated soccer game. Like...
Last battle? Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. Next up, air hockey.
Yeah. Hey guys, let's buy Skee-Ball, the Skee-Ball, video
that's right, that's next. Video Skee-Ball.
If it doesn't spit out tickets, I'm not interested.
There's gotta be a Skee-Ball game for Wii.
Oh, I would guarantee game. There's gotta yeah. be one.
You know, do you know how much I would play a Move Skee-Ball game, though, in all honesty?
You know who doesn't have a Skee-Ball game?
Shut
any
it.
Sega console.
What?
Any Sega console. Oh, shit. Samba de Amigo!
Jesus.
Alright, everybody, so that is our
no trigger.
Suck it. You're a Sega fanboy.
Pick any kind of Sega game that we may have mentioned in the last, like, hour.
Go get the Sega publisher bundle.
I'm yes, getting seriously. The foosball. Adidas, me coach.
Yeah, me
coach.
I'm gonna say download fucking Gunstar Heroes on anything. There you go. That's my pick of the week.
That my pick of the week is go find something on the Steam sale that you want.
There
I'm,
you go.
I'm
Which
gonna go
be
find
hard.
Out what Ensemble is.
All right, so I have one email, so let's do that real quick.
All right.
Okay.
And this is also from my PSN 08.
Okay.
He says, "Well, it's me again." Yep. We know. And I'd like to start by saying it is nice to have, it is nice and cool outside after a very rainy last two nights here.
Suck my dick. It's 90 degrees out.
I have a question about upcoming future systems. If Sony would like, if Sony to be like Nintendo, and make a tablet sized controller, which I believe they would do way better too.
Of course you do.
That was that
why
a question?
Would you think that Mike PSN 08?
Why did that
yeah,
start
yeah,
with
for
if?
Real.
So what would you guys like to see done with it besides the controller use? Didn't we already do a feature on this?
Yeah, we did an entire feature.
Yeah,
on
we
this
did a
time.
Feature on this.
I wasn't there for it.
Okay, so. Well, we'll let you put your two cents in. Let me finish his email first.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it used as a separate gaming dual stick. DualShock stick handheld. The what? Screen could be the size of the Vita with tons of apps, use of normal SD cards. So it could use SD cards, I guess. If not a tablet-like controller, then bundle a Vita in it and be able to control the PS4 game titles, download DLC, change music, and so on. Sony going forward, to me, with how they plan to expand onto the Vita, but making it a controller for certain games will only add to me buying one in the future. I am sure Microsoft has their similar plans with their tablet and next-gen console, later all Mike PSN 08. So,
okay.
Or
Glenn,
they can just go
in.
With what they said and
so,
just use the Vita for all that
yeah,
stuff.
That's what I was about to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, they're just
going to
use the Vita for all
why do you need to make yeah. a dual-stick tablet with face buttons and a touchscreen on it
when
you're selling a $300 one right now that plays its own portable games?
$250.
Okay, you're selling a $250 one right now that plays its own games completely on the side. Why am I going to go out and buy a tablet controller for a new console?
The correct answer is
you're
not.
You could just make this work. I'm not going to.
That's
no,
right.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely
nobody not. Would, I don't think.
However,
I'm not even interested in the Wii U.
Yeah.
However, okay. If they do use the Vita to control the PS4, what would you like to see?
Them well, not using the Vita to control the PS4.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, like, why would I want that? I don't... Yeah.
I think the best usage
I
can think of is
draw.
what like was promised with Gran Turismo 5 with the PSP where they'd use it as like a rearview mirror or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I remember yeah. that.
If
right.
I could get it to display yeah. information valid to yeah. the game I'm playing, like a map or something if I'm playing a first-person shooter that shows where everybody else on my team is or something like that, that'd
but
be cool.
Even when you think of the rearview mirror thing, that's still stupid.
That's yeah. stupid because I got
to
look down. Because
you have to look down.
Desk,
yeah, yeah,
flat,
exactly.
Like,
it's
not like I'm hanging
you
it from
could,
a...
They could sell you a mount that would go on your TV.
Okay, well,
so you
yes,
could, like, mount
technically they could. But
I wouldn't
still
do that.
Dumb.
I want like yeah. a miner's hat so I can mount it to my face. That way.
I think the no, way that no. the way I think it's going to be used like Sony or Microsoft's going to do the same thing. It's just use it for extra information type shit,
yep.
not like not crazy. It, like if you're
well,
playing Halo
cool.
or Killzone, it might show the map layout with where people like maybe where your teammates are or something like that. Or if the weapons have spawned, that'd be kind of cool. Like you know, it's like oh shit, rocket launcher spawned again. But that might take us some strategy. Who knows? You know, people get pissed at that kind of stuff.
Well,
but,
they already do that though with Halo.
You can get apps for that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Halo Waypoint app, if
yeah.
you pay for it on Android or on their Microsoft stuff.
iOS, yeah.
It's got a live map of where you're playing, where your teammates are, where all the spawns
exactly.
are, and everything else.
And that would be just on a bigger, like on a tablet screen. I think that's something I think Sony will do. I don't think they would ever release a tablet-only thing that works for the
right.
PS4.
Yeah, or a game that you use the Vita as a freaking controller.
I don't understand why that's a feature, to be honest. Like, you can use the controller for your PS3. Like, okay, I have a controller for that for my PS3 and my PS4.
It's not a good controller. Like, yeah, it'd be terrible. If you just look at it. It's a good portable controller. Yes. It's the best portable controller I've used, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But it's not a good console controller.
You'd pick a DualShock 10 times out of 10 if you had to control a game with it, right? Yeah.
There's no, what am I going to reach for? Hey, how about this thing with the stubbiest joysticks?
That have a throw of about half of what a normal controller has.
Oh, yeah. It's either standing still or running. Those are your options. There's nothing in the middle.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even analog. It's just a digital pad. It's just, it really doesn't have any analog feature to it.
Yeah.
Is that is that like actually accurate?
No, that's not accurate. I'm just joking.
Does it just feel that way? Because it definitely feels that way.
It
kind of
does feel that way sometimes.
Cool.
Let's do some Mindus questions.
Yeah, actually, okay. I was going to say we should probably skip them, hold them until next week. But,
oh, okay, well, whatever.
Well, no, we only got three, I think. So
do it.
We'll, might as well
get
them
out. Quick, knock them out. Let's, three-word answer maximum rule.
Three-word answer maximum. Here we go. Jack Bauer, Mr. Doug Bauer, a good friend of ours, says, if you were a teacher, what subject would you teach?
Math. Or computer science.
Computer science.
I'd probably go with
or driver's
liberal
ed.
Arts for Jeff.
History, gym, sex ed.
Gym.
I'd love to go to a sex ed class. I would love to go to a sex ed class.
I know. I
want
to go to Jeff's sex ed class. He just passes out condoms and say, after you drink, make sure you have one of these on you.
No.
Whatever happens, happens.
All right. If now, let me show you how to put one in. I'll bring in my lovely assistant, Cindy. And this is how you put on a condom, and this is how you use it. And then you have somebody come in playing a saxophone and set the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to show you an advanced way to put on the condom. Cindy, would you do the honors?
Yeah. This is the Kama Sutra. We're going to go through every single position.
Remember, kids, sex always starts with somebody needing their plumbing fixed. So,
Karen,
I'm here to clean
your
pipes.
I heard it was your 18th birthday. You're legal. You want to come up here and demonstrate? Yeah. Just lift up your skirt.
So deliver pizzas, and you'll do well.
Next question.
All right. Good friend of ours, Mr. Vader. Well, his name's Alduzi.
Is he Master Vader?
Salvador. He says, what TV show would you like to see turn into a game done right? I personally would like to see Sons of Anarchy, a.k.a. Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I added that part. He didn't say that. But.
Well, that's the truth, though. Yeah, if you want to see that game, go play Grand Theft Auto. The motorcycle DLC.
Yeah, what was that called again? I can't remember. Yeah. But that'd be kind of cool. I need to get on that Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. I need to get on that bandwagon. I need to watch that, actually. Everyone talks a lot of hype about that, and I have not seen
it. I have difficulty with it. I
haven't seen it either.
I have trouble watching it.
Really?
I don't like the characters.
Okay.
The guy that you're supposed to like is just the least big douchebag of the group. You're
so
rooting
douchebag,
for the guy
but...
who's not as big of a douchebag. That's his redeeming quality.
Okay.
He could be worse.
I'd like to see How You Met Your Mother but you play as Barney. It's like a point and click event. Like if it's
and
the style
take Leisure Suit Larry and make it Barney.
Exactly, and make it the style of like the new like
the point
left
is
for
to
left for
sleep
dead,
with as many women as you
dead
can.
Games. Something, yeah.
So that'd Catherine, cool. But with more women and less puzzle.
Less puzzle.
No, I like the How I Met Your Mother idea, but I think the Barney thing should be like an Easter egg.
Easter.
Yeah, like you actually have to play through and. I don't know. I don't know if that would work so well. I guess it could.
I think it could if it's like
story-driven gaming. Story-driven gaming never works.
I don't watch too much TV shows. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could say like Game of Thrones, but that's never going to be done right, and it's hard to nail fantasy if you're not like one of the big fantasy games.
Mine was going to be Battlestar.
Battlestar would be good.
They actually
have
an online
shitty
game for Battlestar.
Yeah, they have
it's
a shitty
good,
online game. Is it?
Yeah.
I heard it was bad, but I could be wrong. I'll look into it.
Well, there's two different games. One of them is like more of like a ship battle game mostly. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two different games though.
I would like to see Breaking Bad. Because I think it would be really cool to have like a making meth mini game. Or if you screwed up, you killed everybody.
You know, that'd be kind of funny. you blow up the entire apartment complex.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good game. And you could level up your cooking skills, and yeah, that'd be an interesting game.
I'd go with an actual really well-thought-out reality one, like whether it's based on like Big Brother Survivor, but like in the adventure
the
series
Bachelor.
Where you actually, but then you have like the Mass Effect type like dialogue trees, and you gotta pick what you need to pick to say to certain people,
okay.
And like stay in there and see if you get voted off. You don't, you get
so you could manipulate the shit out of people or be like a super good guy.
Yeah, but actually do it well, not being like, oh, here's like a still picture or whatever. Like if they actually done like an adventure setting, pick what you want to say to people. You have to read people's like personalities and side with certain people and kind of. I think that'd be kind of interesting if done right. Only because I don't watch too much reality TV, but that shit's addicting as shit.
Okay.
And I don't really watch too much.
I've got the winner.
What's this?
Ninja Warrior, the game.
Ninja Warrior, that'd be... Well, they already released that. It's called Dorito Dash. It came out...
Yeah. But if they did, like, a good first-person version, like Ninja Warrior...
Like,
so it'd be like Mirror's
Edge type shit? Yeah.
It'd be like Mirror's Edge, but with, like,
cool,
an obstacle
actually.
Course. I'd play the shit out of that.
I'd play that, yeah. If they'd have good, like, Mirror's Edge type controls, you had to, like, build up your... Because they couldn't just do it like you can run this course with, like, fucking superhero powers. You had to, like, build up your character
you have
and
to
do
aim where
shit.
You're going. Yep.
I could see that working. I could see
that
working.
It'd be like it would have like a trials feel, honestly. Because you'd play like, you know, it'd be online, you'd do time trials against people and try and beat their times and everything. You'd do a little multiplayer racing action. Like that actually would be badass. Somebody get on it. Sega, make that game.
Yes. God.
Done.
All right, we got one more from Jeff Better Tomorrow. He says, What's the most you've seen any one movie in theaters? So how many times was the most you've seen one movie in theaters?
Oh, God. Pitch Black, I saw 3 times.
Wow, okay. Because you really liked it?
No, because I took the same girl on a date there and made out all 3 times through the whole movie.
So you made out the first time, and you're like, let's go back again because maybe we'll get to make out again?
No, there was nobody
in the movie the first time, so maybe there won't be anybody in the movie. Yeah.
No, it was, I saw it in second run theater when I did that.
Oh, okay.
Back when that was a thing. So you go to the movie for like 99 cents.
So basically, you use that as an excuse, so let's get away from our parents and be by ourselves for like.
Ding, 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 ding.
Gotcha.
You are the winner.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's the most times I ever saw that. As far as a movie that I actually
that's a good
like,
movie.
Paid attention to watch was probably, it'd have to be twice. Like, couldn't be more than twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
a
bunch of movies twice, and I think that's it.
I've seen one movie 3 times, and it wasn't because it was good. I think I might have told the story before, but it was a long time ago, but it was Spawn, the live-action movie.
Oh, that wasn't too bad.
Well, watching it again now, it's terrible. Back then, it was
really?
Not too
I
bad.
Know.
Yeah,
I love the soundtrack to that friggin' movie.
The soundtrack's amazing.
That's one of the best soundtracks ever put out.
Yeah, when you mashed up fucking Korn and Dust Brothers, that was fucking amazing. But but yeah, we went the first time, watched it. We're like, yeah, that was a pretty good movie, because, I mean, it was a long time ago, and we had low expectations. And then a friend of ours wanted to go see the movie again, like literally like 3 days later. So like, let's go see it again. So we went and saw it. We got about 3/4 way through, and the film melted down.
What?
So like we're sitting there watching the movie, and all of a sudden,
you watch this on film.
Yeah, we
straight up
we
cigarette
were like,
burns in the top to tell you when to switch reels.
No, this is just like we were just watching. All of a sudden, it looked like the screen was melting, and a lot of people in the theater, I guess, who hadn't seen the movie, thought this was like supposed to happen, and we're like, this is not right. So the lights went on. The guy's like, sorry guys, it's screwed up. You all get refunded. So technically, I've seen this 4 times. So they're like, we'll refund your money. We'll give you a voucher for a free movie. So we went and got that, and then they're like, hey guys, they told us as we're about to leave, like, hey, just to let you know, we got another reel of it. We're gonna start it right now if you guys want to stay and watch it. So we stayed and watched it again. So we watched it once in about 3/4. Then we watched the entire movie again. And the same day, and then literally a week later, another 2 of our friends haven't seen it yet. They wanted to see it, and we had these free passes. Like, well, might as well use a free pass to go see it again. So yeah, so Spawn 3 3/4 of a time, and it's not even that great of a movie. But yeah, other than that, it's 2.
Nicely
2
done.
Is my max. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 I think is probably the most you can get away with doing.
Yeah.
In the theater, just because it costs so damn much, like it doesn't make sense. No movie's that good that you can't wait. to see
no,
it when
no.
it comes out on DVD.
I know a guy I worked with McDonald's, which this is all hearsay, but he was and from a friend of mine who made him this bet with him, bet him he couldn't see Spice World, like, I can't remember how many times it was, and he actually went and did it and saved every receipt.
Oh, God.
And he watched it, I think it was 27 times. And I think the whole bet was if he did it, the guy, my buddy who actually made the bet, had to pay him back basically everything plus like $50.
That's
but
awesome.
I've never actually seen the receipts physically or anything like that, but that's the story, and that's
dude,
just
I'd
terrible.
Do that for $50. Why not? And you just
that's such
cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn box for yourself.
Oh, God. That's all the Innis questions for this week, anyway. All
right, cool.
Thanks, guys.
Let's do, yeah, thanks.
You can hit us up at Innis Questions on Twitter if you want to.
Yeah, make sure you're following at Innis Questions because I think we got something, a little something new that's going to happen
maybe next week.
So,
yeah.
All right, let's do question of the week.
Okay.
All right, so I kind of alluded to this before.
Foreshadowing.
With the new, yeah, foreshadowing. So we're going to come back to Fez. And the issue with the being, you know, having to pay $40,000 to put out a patch. So this goes back to the whole open to closed platform thing, which we've talked about before. So we want to kind of revisit that and see what you guys think about it now. And the real question I have for you is, with this new information, are you itching for that open platform that would allow the developers to drop these patches that are needed to keep the game complete and working correctly? So that's kind of where I'm going.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. So
sure,
we're going to revisit the open versus closed platform. So if you guys have any comments on that in general, you can send those to email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like feet, but it's feet.
There you go.
You can follow us on Twitter as well. We are Indus Podcast, and individually we are Indus Chris, Indus. Oh, no, you're 9 kilobytes.
Nine kilobytes.
9 kilobytes.
Yeah. It's changed.
That's right. And Indus Jeff.
G-E-O-F-F.
G-E-O-F.
Yeah.
And Gmail, Steam, and Facebook. Just search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. And come over to Retroids.com and check us out, and check us out on the forums. Join Retroids and you'll meet a lot of cool gamers to you know, play multiplayer games with.
Just cool people, even, too.
That's right. That's
completely
right.
Aside from gaming.
That's right. I agree.
Some weirdos, too, but you got to filter them out. It'll be fine.
Yeah, just when you see Mike PSN08, just hit ignore.
They don't play. It's fine. They stay arms
just
length.
Just kidding. It's cool. Just kidding. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. You guys have anything before we wrap up and get out of here?
Nope. I'm good.
Yep, just real quick, if you want to check out another podcast me and Jeff are on, it's Broling Up. That's broling-up.com, so you can check us out there. And I just started up with the 9 kilobytes thing. I've got a blog over at 9kilobytes.com. So you can check out those two things.
Good deal.
Sweet.
That's about it. Yeah, I'm done.
All right, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Toodles.